So don't judge me for this, but I have a confession to make. I've never been outside the United States. I know. It's probably not a shocker, right? Google tells me 40% of Americans haven't traveled abroad either. But here's the thing. I really want to change that. My wife and I, we're making plans, saving up, and dreaming about all the places we want to go. We've traveled around a bit here in the States. And you know, even within the same country, it's wild how differently the cultures can be from city to city. It's been fun, but it's not enough. There's a whole world out there beyond what we've known all of our lives, and it feels important to experience that. But now, imagine this. You're 15 years old, leaving behind your entire family to live in a foreign country where you don't speak the language. Could you handle that? Because I'm not sure that I could. I'm your host, Jacob Johnson. This is the My Art Is Real podcast, a narrative journey into the lives that shape art. In today's episode, Ted's Little Dream, right after the break. Support for this episode comes from you, the listener. If you enjoyed this podcast at all, please share it with anyone you know that might enjoy it as well. Leave a review, leave a comment, let us know what you're enjoying about the episode. If you want to take that support a step further, you can head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/myartisreal. Currently, I'm working on getting a bunch of bonus clips and even some bonus episodes up on there for the end of the year. If you would like to support some of our previous guests and other art friends and support the show, you can go to myartisreal.com and purchase limited edition art prints that are made here in studio by me and shipped directly to you. Thank you so much for listening, and back to the episode.
My name's Ted, aka It's His Little Dream. I'm a digital artist and photographer based in San Francisco. My specialty is focusing on photography and surreal fantasy art. So kind of like think about like a digital collage style, and then like that is what I'm known of. A lot of people probably saw my work when you opened the Photoshop 2021, the splash screen with the flamingo cloud. That's my work. So yeah, like I focus on just creating that and then like daydreaming all the time and work with a lot of different clients.
Ted now lives in San Francisco, but he wasn't always a California guy. He actually grew up on the other side of the world in Taiwan.
Oh yeah, so I was born and raised in Taiwan, and then I came to the state for high school around 2005, I think. And then I went to college in New York, and after that I moved to San Francisco. So I just kind of be like stuck here, which I love.
So why did your family decide to send you halfway across the world to the States?
So my parents is like, there's like exchange student program, and then they want me to try like different education systems. And then plus like my brother was like already in high school here. And he went to college in Michigan State. So they kind of was like, hey, you know, might as well send you there too. I was like, okay, you know.
Ted was used to Taipei, this massive bustling city. So when he stepped off the plane and found himself in a suburban America, well, let's just say it was a bit of a culture shock.
It was funny because I always tell my friends, it's like when I first go to went to Michigan for high school, right? And I got off, and then Michigan is more of like, they have the big city, but the my high school is kind of like close to the countryside. Well, not really countryside, but it's like outside the city, right? The room I got out, go there. I was like, hey, you know, this looks a little bit different than the America movie that they projected. You know, I was like, this doesn't look like New York or LA. I was just like, where am I? So there's definitely some cultural shock. So it was weird at first because then, you know, you lose the privacy for living alone. But then like kind of like jump into it real quick. And then you just say, oh, like, it's fun. Because in Asia, I think, We had to go to like school around like 6-7 in the morning and then stay there all the way to like 5 p.m. It's almost like a 9-to-5, right? But then like came to the high school in America, just like, oh, like you get to go home after 2 p.m. Like, this is great.
I remember that when exchange students would come to my school, they usually lived with like a host family or something. Was that your experience, or did you end up somewhere else, or how did it work out?
Oh, no. They put me straight into the dormitory. So it was like an on-site dome. It was like just like students. A bunch of students was like staying there, like including non-foreign exchange students, like the local students too. Some of them just like it's like a boarding program, I think. Yeah, the boarding school. Yeah. So it was like we have a dormitory. It's like 100 people or so. It's pretty big. and then you have like roommates and just hang out there. So it's like almost same as college, right? But it's like I started doing that in high school. I was like, oh, like this is pretty fun.
Thinking back to when you were a kid, what was life like for you in Taiwan?
Growing up in Taiwan, or for me at least, my experience is I do watch a lot of like animes and comic, read a lot of comic and like TVs and cartoons and everything, right? So it kind of like, also you can kind of tell in some of my work, you know, it shapes in there, right? The elements is in there. I remember coming to high school here, and then I realized, hey, like people don't really watch anime and read comic. Back in my days, like now it become like very popular and trending. So almost like every young generation kids are like reading comic and watching anime, which is like super awesome. But 10, 15 years ago, like they don't do that, right? Like I guess that like, you get cold nerd for doing that. Like you got to go out, play sports and do something else, right? I have like a balanced life of both. But that was like definitely like something I noticed like right away. I was like, oh, this is different. And the food is different too, you know? So, yeah.
Honestly, everything Ted talks about would probably send me into a full-on panic. I mean, as an adult, I even get stressed trying to figure out parking, let alone moving to another country and learning a whole new language. But Ted, he's a master at adapting.
I have a very fast way to adapt things. I'll just say, oh, like I'm used to things like pretty fast. It's like kind of like survival mode, right? Like it just survivor instinct just kick in. I was like, okay, like instead of like stress about it, I got to figure out a way how to enjoy this, you know?
So what was it like learning English? Was it tough? Did you know little bits and pieces, or were you starting from scratch?
Yeah, I mean, I know English words, but I don't know how to speak it. So I remember, like, I was, like, trying to go, like, use the restroom, and I didn't know what to say, you know. So just, I almost pee my pants, but obviously I didn't. That was, like, one of the struggle, right? Just like, oh, like, I gotta pee, but how do I say this? But then, like, I think after 3 months, like, you just have to, like, say, like, speak the language. You kind of just, like, learn it really fast.
It's hard for me to wrap my mind around the idea of just having to learn a language because you have to, your surroundings demand it. But my wife, she has a very similar story to that of Ted's. She was little, she only spoke Spanish, and then kindergarten rolls around and everyone is speaking English. She had no idea what was going on. And there's this one story that she loves to tell. This boy kept bothering her. I can't remember exactly what he was doing, but she tried so hard to explain to the teacher, but the teacher had no clue what she was saying. Still, the teacher could tell something was not right and made sure the boy left her alone. And you know what? After being surrounded by English speakers day in and day out, eventually she just picked it up. I guess it is easier for kids though, right? But Ted, I mean, he's just a quick learner. He's a master at adapting. Hearing you speak now, your English sounds great. I mean, I never would have guessed that it wasn't your first language.
I mean, I've been here for like 16, 17 years. So it's like getting pretty easy for me, you know, get the American humors and everything. I think like also that's like another thing, like when you start like get the jokes in the language, I think like that's when you like start getting it, right?
Like a lot of artists out there, Ted first found his passion through drawing. So what were you getting into for fun back in Taiwan?
Yeah, so like I love playing basketball. That was like one of the big sports in Taiwan. I enjoy it the most. I'm a little bit high. I'm not super tall, but I'm about like 5'10", 5'11" on a good day. Basketball was really fun for me. I enjoyed it. But beside that, like I really like drawing, or just like, because like, you know, the comic, the animation, right? Everything that just inspired me a lot. So I love to draw those characters and read comic. I never really like to study. I don't hate it, but like during the class, I'll like take a nap or like draw or read comic and do all that.
His mom had even signed him up for some watercolor classes when he was a kid. You know, nurturing that artistic spirit early on. Well, maybe not exactly that.
I did do some art when I was like in sixth grade or so, right? It's like after class, my mom took me to this art class. So I learned how to do watercolor paint, some drawing. Because she thought I have ADHD, so she's trying to figure out like a way to like calm me down. Maybe I do have ADHD. I don't know. A lot of my friends say I have the sign for it, but I managed somehow to manage it.
And as Ted made his way to America, the art had stuck with him. Wherever he went, there was always an art class in the mix. Then, of course, comes that classic teenage moment. Everyone starts asking, what do you want to do when you grow up? Which, let's be honest, is a pretty insane question to throw at a kid. But still, Ted had to figure it out. He knew one thing for sure, and that was college was definitely happening. That was a given. But the major, the life plan, he wasn't sure yet. Though he knew in his gut that art was what he loved.
So then when I came to high school, and like, I was like, oh God, like now I have to switch language, right? With Chinese, now it's English. I was like, great, I got to study this now. And all the class, but I still like managed to take, art class in between that. And then like, I was like getting really into like jewelry designs and other things. Cause also like the time, you know, like in US, like, or everywhere else in the world, like people always ask you, oh, what college you want to go to? What do you want to study? Blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, I don't really know. Like nobody really know, right? But then I was just like, you know what? I'm going to take art class because I love art. And that's something I'm really good at. I enjoy doing it. I never get tired of it. So when it goes to college, I kind of pick like general art or computer graphic. That's what I pick.
He didn't know exactly what kind of art he wanted to pursue. So he just tried everything, exploring different styles and mediums, seeing where he fit in.
So I took all the different art class of like figure drawing, sculptures, like screen printing, like all different type of art, and then come to the 3D animation. Then that's like, I was like, oh, like I want to be an animator, like Pixar, or work at Studio Ghibli, right? Or like create the next Dragon Ball Z.
You know, chasing the art dream, is that something that your parents fully supported? I mean, they send you all the way to America, so I'm sure they had a pretty strong opinion on what your future should kind of look like.
So I would say luckily I have an older brother, so he kind of took the fall for me to like go with the business directions. So I'm Asian, right? So like growing up in like Asian family, music, art is almost like a forbidden topic, right? You know, it is a stereotype, but it does happen. A lot of parents have like high hopes on their kid, right? Obviously, they want the kid to be independent and can take care of themselves as they get older. And that's what they worry the most. So art is probably not necessarily an easy way to make money. I would say it's very challenging. So like when I say I want to do it, my mom was very supportive, but then I had to figure out a way to tell my dad, right? But then like I would say like an early stage learning how to pitch an idea, right? It's like a company presentation, but it's to my family. Here's a 5 points why you should support me as going to art direction. Obviously, I didn't do it in that way. I just like, Dad, please, you know. But like, here's some reason why I really want to do it, you know. And he was okay with it. He's like, hey, you know what? Just go for it. But you have to make sure, like, if this is something you want to go for, like, you better give 120% of effort into it, right? But yeah, so like, I went for it. Had a great time, enjoying it, and end up doing it all day, every day, you know.
And then you went to college in New York City. So like, how did that come together?
Oh yeah. So, I mean, I wasn't really good at studying. So that was like one of the colleges that accepted me. I was like, okay, I'll take it. I had some friend around that town too. So I was like, hey, this is perfect, you know? So I went there and then like, I didn't know what I want to study, you know. I was just like, why do I have to pick up a direction and lock it in, right? Like, spend 4 years, like, new. Like, and then later I do learn that a lot of people change their major, or the work and job they got was, like, nothing to do with their major, right? So I kind of knew, like, hey, art major, it's something I want to do. Like, I want to be, like, learn more about art because, like, something I knew, like, I won't get tired of, right? I can't really get burnt out from it. Like, I'll take a break or something. But I knew, like, that's where the passion is.
That's a great point, actually, because maybe art won't end up being his career forever. But while he's figuring it all out, at least he's following something he's passionate about. And maybe, just maybe, he'll find happiness in that passion. Eventually, Ted settled on a major. It was graphic design, more or less. While now he's practically a Photoshop wizard, back in school, they were barely scratching the surface of what was possible with the software.
Yeah, so I did try Photoshop for 6 months because I took that was like the only Photoshop official class I took in the class. So, but that was like super basic knowledge. It wasn't like something I have to blend any image together. I don't have to do color correcting or anything. It was just like literally like 10 tool or 20 tool we use how to do stuff. Yeah, so it's like really basic that I remember I was in library like swapping my friend's face on Facebook to like other people's body because I thought it was hilarious. That was like the most I could do is face swapping. This is before the face swap ad came out, right? I was like, oh, I can do this, and I post on there as like a funny meme. That's what I was doing. That was pretty much it, yeah. And I learned a little bit like Illustrator, InDesign for like graphic design. And most of the time, just more like physical stuff, right? Sculptures and then printmaking, do some like woodblock, metal etchings, and like screen printing to do like some stuff. So like I appreciate those art a lot because I know how to do it and how difficult it is. Like, so just every time I see it, I was like, oh my God, like that's so cool, you know?
So with that degree in hand, what kind of jobs were you hoping to land?
Oh yeah, so basically it's just like, oh yeah, like I can do graphic design, concerts, posters, maybe for companies. And I was looking for like, what are some jobs and like interns I can do? So that was most, but I remember like being an art major at the time, like you can make fun a lot, especially like all my friends that are like business, accountant, finance, all that. They were like, hey, what major are you? I'm like, I'm art major. They're like, you're not gonna find a job. I'm like, haha, you funny. Yeah, and it was funny because one of them turned out to be, he did accounting, but I think he ended up doing some like interior design. I was like, who's laughing now, you know?
You know, being an artist, it always has this, the stigma of a starving artist. People think it's impossible to make a living at it, but here's the thing. We're surrounded by art every single day. I mean, it's in all the media we consume, the ads we see, the products we use. Companies always need artists. And frankly, we need art. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a world that's bland and boring. After college in New York, Ted found himself applying to grad school in California. What was the dream this time? To become a 3D animator at a studio like Pixar. But as soon as he started his animation classes, he realized something, that the path to Pixar was a lot steeper than he had imagined.
I think like in a way, you know that the more you know, the less you know. You know what I mean? It's like the more you're learning, then you realize the less like how good you are, right? You have all these talent people that you sort of have to compete with, or like you have to put your portfolio out there, and then you realize like there's a lot of mistakes and other things that you could do better. So right when I graduated, I knew like I need more time. I need at least like 6 months or like a year to build like experience and portfolio, but it just like couldn't get a entry job for that, right? I have the knowledge, but it wasn't like good enough to use it, and wasn't sure like which job title I want. So yeah, so like I ended up didn't work in 3D film at all.
So Ted took a job that, yeah, paid the bills and let him work with programs like Photoshop. It wasn't exactly what he had been dreaming of.
So at the time, I would say like even now, right? Like often a lot of time, like we are kind of like, maybe the word to use is like feeling lost. You might not be actually lost, but you are feeling lost because you're not sure, unsure about the future. You don't know what you want to do. Because even at the time, like when I figured out the medium, I was like truly enjoying practice and doing, I still don't know what I want to do. Like where do I find a job? Because I wanted to work in 3D field. After like a few interview, like failing, I didn't do that. And then, I was like, hey, you know, I have graphic design, I have Photoshop and photography skills. I could work at somewhere else too for as a photo retoucher, right? So that was my first job at this fashion company for 10 months to be a photo retoucher. It was like the most hideous job ever. So this is before AI came out, all these options. So this like I have to manually select each background of the model shoot that they did, remove the background, make it plain white, and then adjust the wrinkles, like smooth the skins and do all that, like very tedious, like boring job. And then I have to do it like 200 to 300 photo every single day because they need it the next day. And then it was just a lot of work, fixing masking. Yeah. So, but then in a good way that I become really fast at doing those things. So that kind of built like a foundation for me. It's like a crazy trend, like boot camp, you know, training boot camp. Just, oh, you got to do this every day. Go, go, go. So, but then like, I also get in touch, get an inside view of like how the pipeline of the company works from like hiring a model, having a product, styling them, dressing, photo shoot, produce, and then like editing and then to the website, right? So I get a peek of everything. So I was like, okay, that's cool. You know, so I took that knowledge and then use it later.
Sure. The job wasn't great. We already know Ted is a master at adapting. He figured it out quickly and made the best of it, focusing on what he could learn from the experience. Today, Ted is known for his amazing digital collage artworks. You've probably have seen it featured on the Photoshop splash screen. His pieces are so detailed, so surreal. My favorite, it's a house sitting in the middle of an ocean with a massive octopus lurking just below the surface. And then in other pieces, you have like a mystical deer and dragons fighting and giant jellyfish floating in the skies. And it's all fantasy and all surreal, but it looks so real. That's all thanks to his insane skills in Photoshop. It was during this phase, right before he took this soulless job in fashion, that Ted had finally realized what he could do with programs like Photoshop.
But also right before 2 years or a year before that, that's like where I kind of like was trying to figure out like, okay, like I need to figure out how to get a job as an artist, right? And I don't really have any knowledge about freelance at the time. There's no one really like teach you about it. The internet is there, but not really there. There's a lot of like YouTube tutorial, but not enough at the time. This is like back in 2009, you know, 2015. Yeah, this is 2015. Yeah. So social media is there, but there's no reels, no tutorial. The video was popular, was Vine. It was just like comedy, 6 second. TikTok is about dancing. So I was like, where do I go study, right? So I remember I had to go into a library and read books and like study and break it down to like be a better artist. And then till one day I came across with this artist. He was doing a presentation about his art. And I went because I was like, oh, this is going to be a cool party. Pretend I was like a 3 hours lectures about like how he does stuff, which I'm so glad I went. But then he kind of showed a way that he used photography and Photoshop and working with like models and now using 3D and all the other technology to helping to achieve and build this like fantasy dream world. But it's mainly focusing on commercial. So for me at the time when I saw that, I was like, oh, I didn't know you can do that. I didn't know like commercial photographer was like a job, right? So I was like, I like photography. I was practicing a lot of photography at the time. Also because like, you know, study film, I had to have like certain knowledge of it. I was doing 3D already because I want to be a 3D artist. And I love like what he's doing. I was like, hey, this could be a potential option.
And just like that, his mind opened to all the possibilities. So he dove back into learning, eager to see what he could do.
I like how he's using Photoshop to help him manipulate the editing the photos to come to photo like digital collage. I love it and I like want to learn it. So the next day I went to the studio, like asked my classmate, I was like, do you know how to use Photoshop? He has like some basic knowledge. So then he taught me. So I learning step by step, watching like tutorial and books and reading books about how to use Photoshop perfectly to like make it strong. So like, but then like, I never stop practice every single day. At least even once a week, you know, I'm always making sure like this past 16, 18 years, I at least open Photoshop once a week minimum, right? So like it's the driven of that is like, I want to be better. And then at this program that helps a lot. So to kind of form into like, oh, like, do I know I can be an artist at job? It's more of like, oh, I'm practicing every day. So when there's an opportunity to have a job as an artist, I'll be ready for it, right? So that's like what I know. Like instead of like knowing like, oh, I always want to be an artist, more like I know when it comes, I'm ready to be an artist for that job.
You can't predict the future and you definitely can't control other people. You never know if the right job will land in your lap, but what you can control is whether you're ready to jump on the opportunities that do come your way. Ted didn't know if he'd ever make a dime from these digital collages, but he wanted to be sure that when the moment came, he'd be good enough. So he stayed consistent. Another thing that's completely within your control. If you stick with something long enough, if you keep pushing to get better, eventually progress is inevitable. Ted knew the art path was the only thing he wanted, and he was going to keep chasing it no matter what.
I kind of just knew, it's not like I knew I could do it, but it's more of like, I knew like this is something that I only want to do, right? That sounds crazy. You know, it's kind of like delusion, not delusion, manifesting the energy, right? I came to a turn that I would be okay if even I'm not making a lot of money, but I'm doing what I love and I'm okay with that.
For him, the goal was doing what he loved, even if that didn't bring in a lot of money. Eventually, using his skills with Photoshop and photography, Ted landed a job working for a friend of his.
Yeah, so jumping to like working with my friend's creative agency, like this dude have like a agency, production agency. So he works in film, videos, and a little bit graphic design. So he works with like the Golden State Warriors, you know, the sport teams in Bay Area, and then the Giants, and tech company in the Bay Area too. So there's like Facebook, Nvidia, all this. So I was like basically do like interview, event captures, recording, all type of video productions, probably even media commercial. I'm not sure how big the commercial was, but definitely some 1 minute to 3 minute promotion videos. So when I joined, he asked me, he's like, hey, you want to come work for me? You know, you still do your thing and then help us out here and there. I was like, yeah, sounds good. You know, so I went to work for him.
And just like in every role before, Ted kept his eyes open, always looking for what he could learn from the experience.
So I also got to learn like the production skills, right? Like how to be a producer, how to schedule a shoot, what are the things that you need to know on like on set, right? So it's like a mini production. It's like it's not like a movie skills production team, but it's like a mini version of that, right? So you have the camera, directors, lighting, everything. So I learned a lot of more skills after that. From like freelancing and then working with them. And then I also started working some like photography job with them too. So I did like a lot of conference, a lot of headshots, started doing like fashion, food styles, vlogging, like all type of thing. And then I also get jobs on like a concert reach out to me, right? Like the music festival, just like, hey, you want to come shoot this and shoot that? I was like, yeah, I'll take it. So that's kind of just went to like doing everything, you know?
So how was this job? I mean, I'm guessing it was much more enjoyable than the fashion job.
Oh yeah, I love it. It's like every opportunity is like a new beginning. It's just like I'm so excited. Get to like never get tired of what I'm doing. There's like always something new. It's just like, hey, I never shot a music festival before, and then I went to do that. I was like, hey, now I have this on my resume, and I was like, hey, I never shot this commercial thing before, and I was like, hey, now I have a resume on that. Just like, hey, like this is a really fun thing to like get to work with like so many different type of clients.
Ted was making digital collages just to improve his skills. But as Instagram started becoming a bigger deal, he thought, hey, why not share my work there? Maybe people will like it. It wasn't part of some grand plan to build an audience. It was just about sharing what he loved with the world.
I'm sharing because like that's what I'm doing. I would love like some other people to see, but I just enjoy posting it either way. Because it was fun. When I moved to San Francisco about 2013, 2014, that's also the early stage of Instagram community growing. So there was like a lot of Insta me, like where group of photographers just come together, taking photo, like do like a photo walk connection, like hang out and stuff. So I made a lot of friends during that time, but that's also like where the early stage of like where first experiencing like what community is, right? So like networking, meeting people, and then like posting art, I would just like simply enjoy while I still like do my work.
To say that Ted's art grabbed attention would be an understatement. His online presence blew up, and accounts like mine couldn't help but share his latest work whenever he posted. Eventually, companies started reaching out to tap into his creative skills. Thanks to his constant drive to learn, he was ready for when those opportunities came knocking.
To get the first job offer, I think it was like 2016, getting work with Honda for camping for Honda Civic. They just launched it. So there was like a specific thing they're looking for. So they hired like one of my friend or two, I forgot, and me. But I remember I didn't know how to call them. So I gave them like a super low budget license thing that I still regret it to today. But I thought it was really funny how much I called in. And plus like the potential that I could get, I was like, oh my God, like that's horrible. So that happened. Yeah. But then it took a while. But like at this, like definitely I did posting at this for like a year or two. Because back in the day, this is like a different way to go viral compared to today's way to like go viral on social media. It's like very different. But slowly and surely, you know, I'm still building, still like posting every day. And like, I know like some of my friends suddenly got like a huge jump, like they got like huge following, but I was just like, hey, you know, like good for them, you know, like I'm happy for them. But I just know like for me, myself, it does get tough, but you just can't give up. You just have to post. You just have to keep going, you know, to slowly grow it, but surely.
It was passion, a hunger to grow, and consistency that finally paid off for Ted. It wasn't an overnight success story. But one freelance job led to another, before he knew it, he realized, hey, I'm really doing this.
That was like kind of the first moment you were like, oh, like, I guess I made it. You know, it's obviously I'm like head to the toe, like super excited for this opportunity. I was just like, oh, I guess I made it. I guess I was like, I guess this is how freelance art works, you know. I was like, oh, look at me, a fantasy freelance artist. Ta-da. So that's what I was thinking at the time. I was like, hey, I think there's an opportunity. There's a chance, like this could be a thing. You know, so that's how I feel.
I'm sure it wasn't easy. He was constantly busy. But you could tell that he was happy.
Yeah, I didn't have a great income, but it was like, as I said earlier, right, I knew I'll be okay even if I starve to death. Well, obviously not dying, but like starving to, but do what I love, you know. There was just a lot of learning to do and trying to figure out like, how do I survive and how do I hit the goal every year, right? So it was a very busy time, a great hustle. And it's just like trying to figure out like, hey, like how do I function as a business? All right. Brand and how do I build my portfolio and work with all these different people as much as I could, you know, learn how to pitch into clients, learn how to negotiate when clients reach out. So just like that whole thing was just going. So like I would say like it was definitely not comfortable, which is like great sometimes that make you driven more, right?
So at what point did you realize that like I can do this full time now?
I'll say when I got about like first 10 15 gigs, right? Then you kind of see a pattern coming out. You're like, okay, like I'm good at it. Like I can do this. But even with now, and then that's like the imposter syndrome that I mentioned earlier, like everybody have it, which is actually really funny. So I realized that a lot of artists that I thought they know what they're doing or like they like kind of like they made it and stuff. Even for them, they feel confused and lost sometimes still, even though like they're so successful and like well known. When I talk to them, like sometimes they're like, hey, you know what, like I don't really know like what's next. Like they're open-minded, they're excited to try things, but sometimes they also do feel lost. And that kind of gave me a better feeling like, oh, it's just not just me, you know. Then I start talking with more artists and I figure like they actually feel the same. So like still till the day, right? Like, I don't like, do I actually made it? Like, if you compare it to like myself, like 10 years ago, I definitely made it. But then, you know, that's when you have all this other, not necessary comparison, but you're trying to figure out like what's next, right? Like for example, I'm doing my art shows. I'm doing some of my sculptures. I turn my art into sculptures. Like that's something I want to do. But then I was just like, okay, great. Now I spend all this money into sculptures. Like who's going to buy it, right? I need to figure out like, I want to buy it. I need a gallery to pick it out. So at least I know the direction where I want to go. But hey, did I made it as a sculpture artist? I don't know. Like no one buys it yet. So I'm at the point like, did I make it? I was like, yes and no. You know, it's a yes and no question.
Today, right now, how do you feel about where your work is going, where it's headed in the future?
I think like for being where I am, it's actually pretty interesting. I had a conversation with this other guy. He was like, hey, love your artwork, but like how far can you push the Photoshop styles, right? Because I kind of pretty much like reached to the top. But for me, I always felt like there are still so much to learn. I want to learn like kind of like digital painting and illustration. So in some 3D, so I can make the dimension and then the directions on my art style to even deeper, because I can push like a better perspective. You know, most of my work I do feel is a little bit flat, but that it become like my style, right? So there's definitely a lot I want to learn. But for doing what I do, I kind of want to like keep doing, because I'm a huge fan of surrealism, digital collage, and I want more gallery to accept digital art, right? The 3D like photo, like Photoshop stuff and stuff, right? I really hope more gallery will accept that in the traditional art scene. So that's like kind of like the direction where I want to head to. And I know like there's still a lot of improvement I can do and to polish my craft. And that's why I start doing like sculpture collaboration and trying to see if I can break into that scene.
Over the last 10 years, Ted has found a lot of success making his collages. But here's the thing. He's still growing. He's still learning. Just recently, he had his first solo exhibition, which closes on October 26th. So if you're in the area, go check it out. I'll leave details for it in the description of the episode. What's exciting is that for this show, Ted stepped outside of his comfort zone and presented sculptures, physical pieces based on his digital work. And while they're impressive, I know he's not done evolving. I can't wait to see where his journey takes him in the next 10 years. Consistency and a desire to learn, that's really what this episode is all about. It's also what I've been applying to this podcast over the last 2 years. The growth that I've seen this podcast do in the last few months and the new listeners coming in on YouTube, it blows my mind. Life threw some curveballs recently my way, including my dog needing emergency surgery. He's doing well, by the way. But I want you to know, I'm back and I'm more focused than ever. We're going to keep growing, keep improving, and I'm so excited for what's next. Thank you for listening yet again to this episode of the Myers-Rowe Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode or any other episode, please comment, leave a review, tell a friend. Do anything you can to share the show with more people. All of it means the world, and I couldn't continue to do it without the support from all of you.